الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. With regard to this ayat, we had discussed previously that we should keep roza of our thoughts also. And particularly in there we had discussed that pride that comes in a person. And pride is of two types. One is what is called takabbur, which we all know is pride. We think others are low, we are better. That is totally haram also. And as we had discussed briefly now, that a person, shaitan keeps him away from deen. When he comes into deen, he has given up now all his bad ways. He has started living a righteous life. Shaitan will spoil his intention. They do it for the sake of people. People must praise you, etc. Many other reasons. When a person passes that also, and he does all his amal with ikhlas, with sincerity, then shaitan will bring pride in him, that you are better than other people. And still, now also he has brought you again to ground zero. He has brought you right down again. And together with pride, what we know as pride, and which is called takabbur in Arabic, in Urdu, then there is another very similar great crime, which is known as ujab. Ujab is also pride. But this ujab means that you don't think anyone, you're better than other people, but just that you think you are good. Just to think that you are good, that I'm all right now, I'm pious, there is also totally haram, just like takabbur. And this ujab is that what a person thinks that is good. A simple solution to that is what Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, Nek banna faraz hai. To become righteous, pious is faraz. Apne aap ko nek samajna haram hai. But to think I'm good, I'm right, this is haram. And this is also such a haram that a person forget Jannat, he won't get the fragrance of Jannat. And the fragrance, the sweet smell of Jannat goes 500 years journey out of Jannat. He won't even reach there. Forget coming even anywhere near Jannat. And this is that a person thinks that I'm all right. And then in that we had discussed, wasaw is also all thoughts that come to a person, bad thoughts and the solution, etc. to that, we had discussed that also. However, one thing that was left out, which is also very important, which is also a guna of thoughts, is jealousy. To feel jealous about somebody. This is also totally haram. And jealousy eats up one's good deeds, just like rust eats up steel, fire eats up wood. Like that, jealousy eats up all the good deeds of a person. And this also, a person doesn't want to do it, he hates himself for doing it, he tries hard that why must I feel jealous, he burns in his heart on other people. And jealousy is also in your own category of people. A businessman will be jealous of other business people. A doctor will be jealous of other doctors. And an alim will also be jealous of other alims. Even here it comes, in every field it comes. And this jealousy is also a major guna, a very big guna. So the solution for jealousy is also simple. One is that a person just thinks so much that ni'mat which I'm jealous of that person, Allah has given him that ni'mat. So actually, I'm not being jealous of that person. What? He hasn't done anything. Allah gave him that ni'mat. So I'm actually objecting to Allah's system that Allah, you made a mistake. Na'uz billah, what a big guna it is to make this bad zani, bad gumani with Allah Ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, you made a mistake, you gave him that ni'mat, he doesn't deserve it. Like many feel also, somebody got khilafat. Now why didn't I get khilafat? Why has he got khilafat? And he has got this fault, which I know he's got that fault. So in other words, you are making a'tiraz on the shaykh also. And the shaykh also did it by the will of Allah Ta'ala. So you are making a'tiraz on Allah Ta'ala. that, Ya Allah, why do you, it's a mistake. So and so is an alim. He doesn't deserve to be an alim. That person has got such a beautiful house. He's got such a big business. He's earning so much. He doesn't deserve it. So we are making objection. We are objecting to Allah Ta'ala. So feel, how can I do such a thing? Tawbah, astaghfirullah. Ya Allah, save me from this. The jealousy will go away. Another thing is that also with this, envy is permissible. Jealousy is haram. Envy is permissible. In fact, it's commendable. Difference between jealousy and envy. Jealousy, that you are burning, why that person? May Allah take away his business. May he go down. May he get this problem. May that happen. May his house burn down. May he die, etc. All that bad thoughts a person gets. Envy, that what he has got, alhamdulillah, I wish I also had this. That is, that whatever ni'mat Allah gave him, he knows his Quran Sharif so well, he reads Quran Sharif so well, you're not jealous on him, you envy him, that I wish I also, his ni'mat must remain. Allah increase him also. But may Allah give that ni'mat to me also. He is driving such a nice car. May Allah give him barakat in his car. And I wish Allah gives me also a car like that. Allah gives me also a business like that. This is envy, there is no problem. And envy in religious matters, in deeni matters, is commendable. To have that ni'mat from Allah, this is commendable. So one was that a person thinks he is making objection to Allah Ta'ala. Another solution is, at the beginning it will never be in the heart, but with your mouth make dua for him. Praise him in front of other people. And make dua for him, though that dua won't come out from your heart. Because you have got that jealousy burning in your heart. But by you keep on making dua, inshallah, that jealousy will turn into love for that person. And it has happened. Many people, they have written to their mashayikh when they gave them their treatment, they wrote back, they say, may Allah reward you, you saved me from Jahannam. Big ulama, they had this jealousy in them for other alims. And then you make dua. And when you make dua for the other person, Allah Ta'ala says to you, the farishta say for you, وَلَكَ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ, and for you the same. Now, you just think, your dua, we know what big sinners we are, how big wrongdoers, we don't know if our dua is accepted, but the farishta's dua, our yaqeen is the dua is accepted. So this is a way to get the dua of the farishtas. So for who you have that feeling in your heart, that may this happen to that person, may that happen to that person, you make dua for that person. And the farishtas will say, وَلَكَ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ. And you'll see in a few days that you had so much of enmity and hatred for that person, it will turn into love for that person. And when it turns into love, you yourself will be living in a garden of Jannat. You'll be happy with yourself. You will feel nice. Another thing is, praise him in front of people. Tell the people, though it won't be from your heart, it will be just superficial from your tongue. MashaAllah, he's such a good business. Allah gave him such a big business. May Allah give him more. Allah made him, MashaAllah, he makes bayan so good. May Allah give him more barakat. His bayans are very good. MashaAllah, his Quran Sharif he reads is very good. You do that, it will also change. Another thing also that you should do is that invite him to your place for tea, etc. This also, it won't be from your heart. But just force yourself and do it. And don't, when you give him tea, don't put lemon juice in the tea and put vinegar in the tea. You give him nice, good tea, everything. And you treat him well. You will see, inshallah, that that sort of hatred and jealousy in the heart, malice, it will turn into love. So there is also one very important aspect. Then we were discussing about dressing yesterday. We discussed about the topi mainly, and then on top of the topi, the amama. With regard to that, there are a few other points also with regard to the amama. When Haji Ahmed Nakhuda Sab, who is originally of South Africa, he is in Medina Sharif now, in the Khalifa of Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sab, rahmatullahi alayhi. The first time he went to Saharanpur, he sat in Hazrat's Majlis. And then this came in his heart, and he wears amama all the time also. It came in his heart, why doesn't Hazrat Sheikh wear amama? Immediately after that, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, when I was young, I wore Amama always. Now I've got so much heat in my head, in my body, it's difficult for me even to keep the topi on. So if a person has got some valid excuse like that, no problem then if he does not wear the Amama. Because the heat in the body. Myself, may Allah accept, for about 25, 30 years I wore Amama continuously. Now the heat is so much, those who are more closer will know, like when I'm sitting in the office, I have to take off my topi. While I'm driving, I take it off. Yeah, because of other respect of everyone, the gathering, you have to wear it. But generally, I just can't keep my topi also on. So if a person can't manage it for that reason, no problem. Hazrat Maulana Ubaidullah Sindhi Rahmatullah Ali, he was a revert and a very great alim. And it's worthwhile to read his life story and many of our akabir. That is one thing we should do regularly, read the life stories of our akabir. It's a source of great inspiration. It will strengthen our iman, our amal, and it will cut us down to size also. Any person who thinks that he's got knowledge, when he reads about our akabir, what knowledge, he will realize, I haven't even smelt, no forget having one drop, I haven't even smelt what knowledge is. Anyone who thinks that he's got taqwa, and we'll read their life stories, what taqwa they had, we'll realize we haven't even smelt what taqwa is. Anyone who thinks that he's pious and making lot of ibadat, when we'll see their ibadat, we'll see we hardly came near ibadat. We don't even know the meaning of the word ibadat stuff. And this will help tremendously to cut us down to size. Anyway, one aspect of Maulana Ubaidullah Sindhi, his whole life he never wore topi. But what was his reason? His reason was that the topi is the crown of a believer. And who wears the crown? The king. He says when there is an Islamic Khilafat and there is an Islamic rule, what kingdom have we got? We haven't got a kingdom, so which crown am I wearing? That is one aspect of taqwa. This is not for everyone to practice. That we all say now there is no Islamic Khilafat, so I'm not going to wear topi. If you really have that in your heart and your life proves that you have that caliber and that level, then it will be all right for you. Otherwise, it will be tilbis, iblis, dhoka of shaitan, how he'll confuse you. Another aspect of this also, about 2 or 3 years ago, when we were in Umrah with our Shaykh, Damat Barakatuhum, it was a Friday after Asr Majlis in Medina Sharif. And Hazrat's place in the hotel Manazilul Haram, which overlooks the Haram Sharif. And there also Mubarak is right in front, Hazrat is sitting right in front. And Hazrat came in one trance or whatever it was of Hazrat. And a lot of the people who came, Arabs who come, or India, Pakistan people who are living there for many years, and they also like Arabs, and they have, commonly, they wear that white rumal. They cover their head with the white rumal, and they make sure the point is properly in the center here always. It is made 45 degree both ways, and it is kept there perfectly. Hazrat made them all take off their rumal. Hazrat say, if you need this because of the sun, the heat, and you're wearing it outside, it's all right. But this has become Arab national symbol of the Arabs, that they wear it. And that has nothing to do with the deen, with Islam at all. So Hazrat made them remove it. Also, those who had Amama, Hazrat made them remove their Amama also. One alim who in that majlis, Hazrat gave him ijazat khilafat also, and he used to wear Amama always. Hazrat made him remove it also. And as we mentioned yesterday, where the nazar of our akabir fall, our nazar cannot go there. And Hazrat also, Hazrat's kitab on sunnat, and how many beautiful poems of Hazrat on the importance of sunnat. And this one particular poem which the whole world, or the awliya, loved it tremendously, Naqshe Qadam Nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste. The footsteps of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the road to jannat. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. And sunnat will make a person be joined to Allah Ta'ala. So Hazrat also is an ardent lover of sunnats. But why did Hazrat make them take off their amama? They know more better. And as we said yesterday, we are ra'yul alil alil. The opinion of a sick person, that opinion is also sick. But these are those people, and if a doctor is ill, he can't treat himself. He can't operate on himself. He can be the most best surgeon in the world. But he'll have to go to another doctor to go and operate on him. So in the same way, our akabir, they know much more better. And to follow in their path, this is a path of safety. When a person, well, his own interpretation of his understanding, and many people have kaj fahmi, their understanding is very crooked. They read a thing, but they take a complete wrong meaning. They don't get the wrong, proper understanding. So that is also our akabir, whose lives have been devoted for deen. And what great, great sacrifices they have made for deen. What Allah has blessed them with, we cannot reach those places. So therefore, we should try and follow in the path of our akabir. But anyway, the final word is that the amama is the sunnah of Hadrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If there aren't any of the things that we had mentioned yesterday and today, any of the reasons why a person shouldn't, then by all means he should wear the amama and observe the sunnah of Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. With regard to that same alim, I think his name was Yasin, Maulana Yasin Mewati, he's in Karachi, he explained, which is also part of our subject, when we finished with Hadrat's Majlis, we were going to the Haram Sharif, and we were walking together. And he told me, some years ago, he told which year also, he came for Hajj. And he says, first they were in Makkah Sharif, and like everyone, when you are there especially, and not only there, wherever we go in the world, how those people dress, we seem to take a liking and we buy that, and at home we're going to wear like that. When you come home, you don't even take it out from its pockets. It stays there forever and ever. Yeah, it's a different thing. There you saw that and you got impressed with it. And that is also that same talawun, changing of colors. We must stick to our one way. If you go and see how India you go, you see the saris, you think now my wife must wear a sari. And when you go to Malaysia, you see them wearing something else, my wife must dress like that. No, you shouldn't be. You stick to your one way. We have been given the best of ways, we stuck to that proper sunnat way. Anyway, he says, when I came, this desire came in my heart also to wear this long Arab kurta, to wear that rumal, the white rumal or the red rumal, the red and white one, to wear the iqal also, that black thing that is put around the head, all that. So he bought it also in Makkah Sharif. They came to Medina Sharif. At night they reached quite late. He slept away. The next morning when he got up, he prepared for Jummah, then he wore all this. And he made his Jummah in this dress, the long white Arab kurta, the red rumal with the iqal, all that. And then he went back to his room, had his lunch, and he slept away. When he slept away, he dreamt of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam angrily pointed to his dressing and said, "Ye mera tariqa nahi, ye mera tariqa nahi. This is not my way. This is not my way." He got a shock. He got up from his sleep. He took it all off, the kurta, everything. He put it one side. And he wore his own original, the type that we wear. He slept again. Again, he saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam was happy and told him, "Ha, ye hai sunnat ka tariqa. Ha, ye hai sunnat ka tariqa." And then Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him further. He says, "This iqal, that black, that rope." He says that in the days of ignorance, the Arabs used to use this to fasten the legs of the camels. And now they're using it to put it on the head. What was on the legs of the camels in the days of ignorance, now they're putting it on their heads. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this to him in his dream. And he came into his original dress, our type of kurta, etc. Then Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam was happy with him. So anyway, with regard to dressing, before we go further in case I forget, I promise that dream that for people who are from outside, our brother Yusuf Gundiwala is here. Oh, I haven't got it yet. This is all Mohammedan poems. Sacha. I thought it was that. Inshallah, we'll discuss it. Briefly, it was our brother Yusuf Gundiwala, his daughter passed away in this year. And a young girl, about 18 years, unmarried. So one of our friends here, Maulana Muhammad Rafiq Mutara, who's here the Imam of Jami Masjid, his wife saw this dream. And in that dream, she, briefly and vaguely, she went and visited by her, and then she opened the doors, and she was surprised. You, yeah? She says, yes, I stay here. Why? What's wrong? Then she told him, you passed away, etc. So then amongst the things she asked her, that your mort, were you frightened for mort? She says, initially, little bit I was frightened, but then, like we're reading in the kitab, Maulana Musa Patel, every night after Isha is reading, then she said that Allah made it easy, like a child, when a child has got a problem, you put toys in front of the child to take the mind off what the child, whatever tooth is paining or hungry or whatever, you put toys. Like that, when a person is dying, there are pangs of death. So Allah also gives you the toys. And what toys Allah gives? He shows you the scenes of Jannat where you're going. He shows you the Hurul Ain. He shows you all that. So you don't realize even your ruh is going out. In the meantime, your ruh is gone out. So she said, just the start was little bit. Then there wasn't anything. Then she also told her, amongst other things, that you are so lucky that you are there, and in great comfort and enjoyment and pleasure she is in. And she said that we can't even do anything. I've got my wife, my husband, my children. I have to see to my housework. I don't, all what a person would like to do, more tilawat, more zikr, more concentration namaz, but you got soul at her house. Wife, it's her jihad, doing her housework, seeing to her family, etc. So she told her, no, don't think like that. The small things you do, yeah, it fills up the whole, Allah is giving so much you can't believe. You can't imagine on small things how much Allah Ta'ala is giving. So therefore, we should try and do everything. It comes in the hadith, the smallest of neki, don't think it as small. Hadrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, the smallest neki can take you to Jannat. And the smallest guna, don't think it as small. The smallest guna can take you to Jahannam. So don't disregard any small guna. And don't think any neki is small. All this will give you what Allah Ta'ala is giving. Then she offered her food. And when she saw it, she said, what? This is food. And it was very good food, what you'll offer your guests. She said, what Allah is giving us here, you can't imagine what Allah is giving us here. And we are living in so much of comfort and ease. And also she said, you passed away very young. She said, I'm so lucky that unmarried, I've got no accountability, very little. When I told Appa at home about it, she said, yes, her mother kept them very close to them. They didn't mix a lot with people also. The mother kept them a lot close to herself, and so they were safeguarded from all the other fitnas and all the other evil, outside evil. Mother kept them close to them. So anyway, inshallah, I'll bring that, hopefully. Then we'll read that also. Coming back to our subject then, under the topi then, on top of that we discussed the topi, on top of the topi, with regard to the topi, Allah reward our brother Salim, mashallah. He heard the bayan and he changed his topi after Maghrib, mashallah. That is the spirit. That is sami'na wa ata'na. We listen and we obey. Don't be just sami'na, that is neutral guy. We just hear, let him say what he wants to and we'll do what we want to. And not sami'na wa asayna, that we listen and we'll disobey. That anyway, person makes the niyat of sami'na wa ata'na, we listen and we obey, then immediately on that, in that bayan already you get the full sawab. You hear of the great mujahada of the buzurgs and your niyat is on to make amal. We won't reach there. May Allah give us tawfiq. But we'll get the sawab because our niyat is to obey. Previously we were by our Shaykh Damat Barakatuh and Maulana Musa, he's from Natal, Maulana Musa Ndaba. He's a black student, he qualified here in the madrasa. MashaAllah, he speaks Urdu also very well. He goes every year by Hazrat, he spends one chilla there. So one time Hazrat told him, you are black and you're wearing a black kurta, it doesn't suit you. Just so much Hazrat told, he said, Hazrat, excuse me. He went away to his room and he went and wear a white kurta. Then he came back again. Hazrat said, yeah, this now is very good. This is how you must be. Gee, on clothing, another thing which I wanted to say, which I forgot also, is that our Hazrat is very particular also. He wear white clothing. This waistcoat, Hazrat gave it to me sometime previously. When I wore it in front of Hazrat, he showed a dislike to it, that it is black. So I said, Hazrat, you gave it to me. So Hazrat, that was that time. But now Hazrat, and when I went to Hazrat, Hazrat's kurta, I had to say, it came on my tongue, Ashaddu Biyad. Like Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, when he came to Medina Sharif, and his kurta was so white, sparkling white. That is how Hazrat dresses all the time. Ashaddu Biyad, very white. So Hazrat prefers, and also another thing, also with regard to the rumal and that, many times, even if it's a little bit chilly or a little bit cold, and Hazrat is over 80, and old people, less blood in the body, you feel more cold. But Hazrat doesn't like you to act, and this is another very important subject. Many of us, we think we are Sufis, and we start acting, and what we think is Sufi, you do everything slow motion, and you go slow in everything. And this is now our piety. Just that we're doing, even in our namaz we'll do. And in namaz, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to a person who bowed his head down. And some of our satis got that habit. They throw the head on the side, or they throw it a little front. Hazrat Umar came with the back of the whip and pushed it at his back. And he said, At-taqwa ha-huna. Taqwa is in the heart. Don't act like outward big Sufis up in that. So all that acting and pretending, wearing clothes and covering oneself up and acting like a Sufi, Hazrat dislikes that completely. And even if it's a little cold, when Hazrat came one time, he was by Maulana Hussein Bayat, he should go, it was winter, actual winter. And every morning after Fajr, he should go to Florida Lake, and there we should have Ash'ar, etc., majlis of about 1.5-2 hours. And there were those times when the temperature was below zero, -2. But Hazrat said that full, that 1 hour, 2 hours. And in there also, he shouldn't like a person to be overdressed. It was cold, you dress. But the end, at the beginning, 1-2 days, I just went normal. And Hazrat used to be very happy that look at him, that he hasn't got anything, no overcoat, no shawl, no nothing. So to show the manliness of a person and to show courage, that is also part of our deen. Not that just little bit the wind blows, if you get sick quickly, you catch a cold, your immune system has become a bit weak, it's different, take your precaution. But if not, don't cover yourself up so much and all that. And don't walk slow and look the way you're walking and your namaz and everything else, and you make people wait for you, and this is your tasawwuf. No, this is no, our Allahu Akbar. In that same time in Karachi, Hazrat, the subject, and Hazrat called all who were present from their rooms, when all were resting after Zohar. And Hazrat tell them, see, in taqwa, no way it comes that you have to cry. Hazrat say, you stay with taqwa. That is, don't commit any sin. One side you like crying in your duas, and then you go and sit and watch TV with your friends. Like one friend of ours sings Hazrat's Nazam, he say, you made tahajjud, you cried in your tahajjud, and in the morning you're having breakfast with your sister-in-law. And you're asking her also, must I butter your bread for you? And she also says, yes, put double butter, more butter also. And your paan, you're having paan with close family members, and you ask them, the tuna, must I put more tuna for you? And then they say, no, the tuna will cut my tongue. And say, no problem, then I'll come and treat your tongue also. So one side you're tahajjud and one side this. No, that is not right. You're crying also, you get so emotional also. But other side you're committing gunas. So what is taqwa? Not to commit guna. And when you're crying like that, shaitan is smiling at you. This is my best friend. Now he's crying so much and he thinks himself that he's pious. And he doesn't even think of staying away from guna. And then what happens? He makes you make all the guna. So you stay happy, you laugh. Laughing is not against taqwa. You stay nicely with people, you smile, you laugh, you even make jokes reasonable within the limit, everything. Don't just commit any guna. That is all. Don't commit a guna. So therefore, a person must be very careful with this. And people who are put to even a bigger test, like doctors who have to examine female patients also. For them, it's a very big test. For an optician who has to look right in the eye of the female patient. to look in the mouth a dentist, eh? And if you're an amil and you treat woman, you're in big danger all the time. And we know what terrible things are happening in that field. How, what big gunas are being committed in that field. And yet a person, shaitan, makes you think that you are pious, you are right. So the thing is, what is taqwa? To give up guna. That is the most important. So anyway, as far as the dressing then, coming under the topi then, yeah, is the hair. The hair to keep zulfa is sunnah. And there are three types of the zulfa, which you can ask any alim, they will explain to you. But our akabir also, all our akabir, they also did not keep zulfa. Eh? In fact, once, in a train, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was traveling, and a white man from England, Britain, he told a mocking sarcastically, he said that, you don't keep hair on your head, you are bald. You don't keep any hair. So Hadrat told him, you don't keep a beard. In other words, the hair that grows, he meant you must keep, it grows naturally. So Hazrat told him, the beard grows naturally, why don't you keep a beard? You objecting that I don't keep hair, why don't you keep a beard? Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he shouldn't allow anyone to keep zulfa in his khanqa. Anyone who is associated to the khanqa, he should not allow. Because the hair, as we had mentioned, is zinat, is beauty. And Hazrat should say, today people's intentions are not clear. We are saying it's for sunnah, but we are keeping it for beauty. And we are keeping it for another purpose. And our Shaykh, Damat Barakatum, now, from before, the children's head, he has it shaved off completely. And many times their mothers phone and get very angry with Hazrat. That why are you doing this? Why are you shaving my child's hair off? And why are you keeping him like that? Hazrat explains to them, I'm protecting him. If he is, and especially a young boy, that is the height of his beauty, and we know when boys and boys are together, they get involved in other gunas also, which is today in the West, they are openly, they are encouraging it, homosexuality, na'uzubillah, what a filthy and dirty sin, but they are encouraging it. So when a boy has got that beauty, he is in great danger. So Hazrat explains, I'm protecting your child. Don't think that I'm making him look ugly or anything. I'm protecting him. And then Hadrat says also, when your hair is completely shaved off, now you won't even think of making some contact with some woman. How you look. If that woman want to come and see you and she see you like that all without any hair or anything, but if you got nice beautiful hair, it will also make you think all that gunas. So it's a great deterrent and a great protection. And here also understand the tariqah of our akabir. That for example, amama is sunnat. To keep zulfa is sunnat. But they are stopping. So what will we say? How can they be our akabir and our leaders when they stopping from sunnat? To a broad example, easily to understand this. That to make salam, what a importance. More important sunnat than amama and then keeping zulfa. These are, in which I encourage, but salam, to make salam is the shiar of Islam. And to reply is wajib. And even to reply which is wajib. The three Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, who didn't go out for Tabuk. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who himself gave the instruction of salam. He said, nobody must make salam to these Sahaba. And if they make salam, nobody must reply also. So for Islah, this is 100% permissible for a sheikh. For a Shaykh, a Kamil, to make such tajweez, like a doctor, meat is very good to eat. Ghosht mera dost. The king of food is meat. So meat is very good, but if a doctor stops you, no meat in your diet. It's very unhealthy for you. Bananas are so good, but for some people, no bananas for you. Banana is no good for you. So in the same way, certain things which are very important for us in our deen, but the Shaykh stops it. And they have their reasons, and this is 100% in conformity with the sunnah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So the best is to shave off all the hair. And if a person doesn't shave, to cut his hair. And in any case, to keep English hair, that is totally not permissible. And what is termed in Shariat as English hair or any other hairstyle is that a person keeps part of the hair and he cuts part. Like, for example, a person keeps hair on front, he trims it on the back, hair on the side, etc. That is not permissible. If you cut your hair all one level, you cut, you take a machine, number two, number three, number four, or with a scissor, but all one level you cut it. That is permissible. But to cut on your any part of your head, to keep anywhere part of the hair and to cut part, that is not permissible. Inye is another thing also which many righteous people, learned people also are doing, is what is called a square cut or a straight cut. That is, here at the back, we cut the hair completely off. And then we have it trimmed. Here at the back, we have it cut straight, and on the sides, here, which is called a square cut. That is also not permissible. That is also a style of the West. That is their tariqah. And that is also where, at that place, we're keeping part of the hair and part we are not keeping. So therefore, we shouldn't do that. And some say that for neatness. Neatness, you cut off all your hair. Your hair is neat now. It is so fine. Another thing which is part also, which is sunnat also in fact, and which has to do with hair, and which is very important also, is to put oil on the head. This is the food of the head. Today, unfortunately, the opposite. The West have tried everywhere where they did not only take out a sunnat, they replaced it with something harmful. They took away the miswak, they gave us the toothbrush. Everything where they took away a sunnat, they replaced it with something harmful. And where the hair, malish on the head. And in fact, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a topi, which is called a qina. He should keep that, because when he should put oil, so that the oil goes into the topi, then it starts looking dirty. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore one topi which was exclusive when he put oil. Like at night, usually you put oil. So he used to wear that topi, the qina, which was quite oily. It looks very quickly, it looks dirty. It's not dirty, it's the oil. But so much ihtimam, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took care to put oil on the head. The opposite, the West gave us shampoo. And shampoo contains carbolic acid. And this is very, very harmful. In fact, even in all the soaps, there is carbolic acid, which is also very harmful for the body, for the skin. But the whole world is using it. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has written that if at least don't use it on your face. There are various plants, flowers, mix that in the water that gives the, that cleans your skin properly and won't have the bad effect of the soap. But Mufti Shafi Sahib say, if you have to use the soap, everyone is using the soap now, but try and use it less, very less on your face. And you'll see the difference within a few days, he says, that you are not using soap. And use the other, the hollyhock flower. It's very good. It cleans the body completely. It does all the effect of a soap, and it hasn't got the harmful things like the carbolic acid. So for the head, this is the most harmful thing. Many people who are suffering from migraine, which is common, headache so much, and hotness in the head, pressure and tension in the head, all this is because of the shampoo that we are using. The woman use the shampoo, men use shampoo, and we don't put no oil. And the oil is the, if we don't eat food, our machine, we don't oil our machine. Our car, we don't have oil, not only in the engine, all the other places, the gearbox, everywhere where grease, oil is required, we don't, what will happen to that car? What will happen to that machine? This machine here, which is the main machine which makes all the machines, we don't give it its oil. A person should use oil. Then there is a lot of detail also according to the seasons, which oil to use, etc. But basically it is sunnah to use oil also on the head. So the best in the hair is to remove it completely. And don't trim it on the sides, at the back, etc. Then coming further down is the kurta. And today is a big debate, unnecessary and unwarranted debate about the slit kurta or the long Arab kurta. The simple, straightforward thing that Dream I had narrated, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, Mullah Muhammad Umar, when he started his mission, fighting against all the warlords of Afghanistan. The whole of Afghanistan was fragmented into so many separate sections. Everywhere there was a warlord. And the warlords had committed havoc and chaos in Afghanistan. They used to make zulm of unimaginable proportions, more worse than what the Russians were there, and more worse what the Americans are doing presently, these warlords. They used to keep any young girl they wanted to, like in prison, and they used her just as they want to. And very sadly, in Afghanistan, homosexuality is also very, very rife. And young boys, they abuse them terribly. It was a terrible condition. Mullah Muhammad Umar was studying in a Darul Ulum. He was in Hidayah or Mishkat. And it just came in his heart, how can this carry on? From there, he started in his town fighting the warlords. And he really, when one girl was in captivity like this, and she was being abused like this over and over repeatedly, and she sent out a message, is there somebody who can help me? Mullah Umar went for her to her rescue. They freed the whole of Kandahar area from this whole mess and this terrible thing. Then it came in his heart, this is not only in Kandahar, it's happening in the whole of Afghanistan. Must we go and relieve all the others? Then he made mashura, he called a mashura in the masjid. All the ulama supported him. From there they went on to the mission which came to be known as the Taliban mission. But now to go to all the other places, he needed some strong support. Like Bush wanted a strong support to fight the Muslims, he had the Twin Towers crushed or dynamited or whatever it was. So he needed a strong something support by which he can carry on with his mission. For that, in Kandahar till today, even now, the kurta of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is kept by a certain family, not by the government of Afghanistan. Just like the key of the Kaaba Sharif is not by the Saudi government. It is in that family it has come down. Giving water to the Hajis is not the Saudi government's work. There is one family that is doing it, and the Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them duas, you'll do it till the day of Qiyamah. And it is in their family. So this kurta also is in that family. So Mullah Muhammad Umar wanted to take this kurta, show it to the people, and on the basis of that, like it's uske waste se, he wanted to now go for his jihad in the whole of Afghanistan. So they permitted him, and it's kept under a lot of lock and key. One lock and key, another. And this appeared in our Star newspaper, this whole article, right at the beginning, which somewhere must be in my file somewhere. So anyway, then he took that kurta and he showed it to all the people. And on that he asked them for their support, to support him in this mission of his. So that kurta was exactly the kurta that we wear with the slit. The kurta that is not the long Arab kurta, and all of Afghanistan people wear the same kurta. So if that kurta had to be different, they would have all opted for that kurta. So this is the kurta. Similarly, Osama bin Laden, he met with one alim, and that alim was wearing the long Arab kurta, and Osama is an Arab. But Osama told that alim that this kurta you are wearing is not the correct kurta. This kurta, the sunnat kurta, he said, is this one, which is just below the knee. Between the knee and the ankle, below the knee. This is the sunnat kurta. And the proof Osama gave is that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu should climb on a moving horse. He should jump on. He said it's impossible to do it with that kurta. Mufti Razaul Haq Sahib is also of Darul Ulum Zakaria, given a lengthy fatwa on the kurta, in which he has also said the sunnat kurta is the kurta with the slits on the side, which is just below the knee. On this point, he has written that to make wuzu with this long kurta is a problem. Just to sit down and then to adjust the kurta is a problem. Whereas with the slit kurta, it is very, very easy. And where did this long about 100 years from now, this kurta was worn by all the people in Saudi also. All the people, everyone, Arabs and non-Arabs, they all wore this, what we call the sunnat kurta. It's not a Pakistani kurta, it's not a Indian kurta, it is a sunnat kurta. They all wore that. Students who studied there, Maulana Ahmad Durwesh, I discussed with him, they became Hafiz in Medina Sharif in the early 50s, round about there. There were few others, Pandor family, other people who studied there. Even at that time, in 1950, he said, I never saw anyone with the long kurta. It had started already. But he said, I never saw, everyone you saw wore this kurta. Yeah. And so this has been started by what is known, it is not his right name, Lawrence of Arabia, who is a Jew, Leopold Lawrence or whatever. But he had started it, and he himself has written, so that to take out the spirit of jihad from the Arabs. Because your movement is very curtailed and limited in this long kurta. So, and therefore, he started this kurta amongst them. And he started a few other things also. Until today, the West, they maintain that whatever fashion you want to go in the whole Muslim world, just introduce it in Mecca and Cairo. From there it goes into, it spreads in the whole Muslim world. And this is where they have brought it. One very good friend of ours, Hafiz Ahmed Sadiq of Peter Maritzburg, one time he phoned me, he told me it was Ramzan, and he knows also I don't like to take calls, and it was also after iftari time he phoned. So he told me, excuse me, but I have to tell you this. He says, we just returned from Palestine, going to Baitul Muqaddas, and we went in a group. So he says, whenever we should go to the masjid, to the Baitul Muqaddas, the Israeli security forces are always there, they're everywhere. He says, our whole group, they shouldn't stop anyone. Every time they stop me, interrogate me, harass me, ask me questions. So he said, after a few days, I told one of them, please, I want to ask you something, but don't lock me up and don't shoot me. He says, what is it you want to ask? He says, whenever we come, the whole group, you don't stop anyone. You don't harass anyone. Always you're questioning me, you're harassing me. Why are you singling me out? So then what that Israeli police told him, the security force, I don't think he's very learned in their things and that. He's a military man, he's a policeman. But what did he tell him? He says, look at your dressing. He says, you are wearing the sunnah dress. That fellow is saying, this kurta, he says, you are wearing the sunnah dress. He says, we got a problem with you people who follow the sunnah. This others who are following fashion, Arab fashion, we got no problem with them. Our problem is with you people. Today, unfortunately, we cannot realize it, but an ordinary Israeli military man, policeman, he also realizes that what the power of sunnah is. And we can't see what the power of sunnah is. Then another very simple, straightforward, which Mufti Raza al-Haq Sahib has also written, our Ustad Mufti Sanjali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali taught us, Allah reward him. And this, I asked the students also quite a few things. I told him, this kurta, yeah, the proof of it is in Hidayah. You people look for it and bring it to me. They couldn't bring it, they asked Ustads also. Then when one Ustad asked me, that where is it, you say it's in Hidayah. I told him, open Hidayah, Kitabul Janais. The very beginning ibadat of Kitabul Janais, of how janaza, about all janaza, about the kafan, is written there, and the kurta of the kafan is with slits on the side. And then the shara of it there, the explanation is given, kama kana yalbisu fi hayatihi, how he used to wear in his lifetime. The kurta of the mayyat, which we all know. And then there is another discussion, some say, of the fuqah, that there mustn't be a slit, others. But we all know, our kurta, which we put on for the mayyat, is with the slits on the side. And on that he writes, kama kana yalbisu fi hayatihi. Then this, one of our students, Mani Musa's brother, Mani Imran, he took out so many ibadats. Even the Hanbali Ibn Qudama, and from very old, about the 5th or 6th century of Islam, he also writes there that the hariz, which there are different meanings, but the one meaning is the slit, that this is the tariqah. So all along this was our tariqah. So we should try and wear the kurta like that. That is the sunnat kurta of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then after the under the kurta is the vest. The vest is not sunnah. A person wears it out of necessity, for health reasons. So don't just wear it because everyone is wearing it. Everyone wears a vest, we also wear it. Question yourself, why am I wearing the vest? Is it necessary? Should I be wearing it? Why must I wear it? So it is for health. And what is it for health? It absorbs the perspiration, the sweat. So for that reason, wear a vest with sleeves, short sleeves in summer, because the main place where a person sweats is under the armpits. If you are wearing it just because people are wearing it. just everyone is wearing, I'm also wearing, then it's different. But wear it for the purpose for what it is. So the main sweating is under the armpits. So if you wear a sleeveless vest, and at one time I remember when we were young, vest, the fishnet vest, with all those big, there's no purpose, just it looks nice. And then it must show through the shirt and that. So that was fashion. What was the purpose? In that case, don't even wear it. So the sunnah is, and Allah's fazl, I remember when we were studying here in Mia's farm, so marhum Alana Muhammad Kalwaya of Springs, I asked him that the vest, why do we wear it? Is it sunnah or what? So he explained to me that is for our health reasons we wear it. So it's not sunnah that a person wears a vest, but it is for health reasons. So wear it for that, not just because everyone is wearing. In that, while we are coming to that, and just let me touch on that. Okay, we'll carry on inshallah tomorrow. And so make dua also, and make effort also. Very, very important is our dressing. And it must try and bring it according to sunnah, our dressing. At all times where we are. And understand what is also the proper sunnah. This is very important. And in fact, before the kurta we went to, we had to discuss the beard. So tomorrow, inshallah, we'll discuss that. Also, one announcement that, our stress is, by the barakat of our shaykh, and what we have learned, is not on making lot of ibadat, but on giving up of guna. And the object of this month is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The whole ummah thinks that piety is lot of ibadat. But the Quran and Hadith teaches piety is giving up of sin. So that is what is very important. So if a person will be disappointed if he has come here in the hope of whole night Shabina or Qiyam-e-Layl, etc., he will be disappointed. But if we have come for our Islah, for our reformation, then inshallah, that person won't be disappointed. And that is what Allah requires, and this month of Ramadan is for that purpose. And again, lastly, if anyone has a problem, don't be frightened of Rashid Qaji. If he's not so strict and he's not so hard, but if you think he has to maintain system. But if you have got a problem with anyone, anything, please tell me about it and let us sort out whatever problem any person has. But also respect the administration, the authority. Without that, everyone will have a problem. So respect whatever they tell us, how they want us to do things, inshallah. Then things will run smoothly. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانه